Andrew, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hello, good morning.
Now, this week's announcement means that there'll be a shift to consolidate security agencies under just one minister. Do you think that this is a practical move for Australia?
Look, I certainly think it's introducing large-scale change to a system that has remained largely unchanged apart from a few cosmetic moves over the last 2 to 3 decades. So this will lead to basically the agglomeration, the collection of ASIO, Australian Federal Police, a range of other agencies like AUSTRAC and the Australian Border Force under one super ministry, which is the term you used in your introduction.
Mm.
And the idea, at least the professed idea from the government, is that it will make it easier to coordinate operations both within these agencies but also across these agencies, and will allow the government greater economies of scale, greater levels of bureaucratic efficiency in coordinating Australia's national security efforts. And I guess we need to think in fairly broad terms about the idea of security. It isn't just about counterterrorism. It's not just about defending Australia. I think this idea is a broad idea of security ranging right across the homeland, the idea of homeland security rather than just a narrow definition of national security.
Mm, and I think that that's something that has taken the focus and has really taken the headline maybe, is the national security and the idea of counterterrorism and keeping borders safe and all of that kind of rhetoric that surrounds our discussion of security these days. What will this mean for the average Australian? What's this going to mean for Australian society? Will things change greatly, in your opinion?
Look, I think for most Australians outside government, it's not going to mean a lot.
Hmm.
I think most Australians outside government watching the formation of this ministry over the next 6 to 12 months will see some frequent announcements about changes that are happening, and perhaps less frequent over time. But within government, the potential is actually quite significant for large-scale change. And I think one of the things you need to be concerned about, and one of the issues the Turnbull government has not done a very good job at explaining, is how these individual agencies are going to manage that change. Because anyone who's worked in government knows that change, restructuring, reform, always leads to greater insecurity among individuals about careers, about jobs, about where they're going to be working, about what their missions are going to be assigned, and so on. And so the risk is, I think, with really important national security agencies like ASIO and the AFP, that individuals are going to be distracted by this bureaucratic change. And so the government has not explained, and I think it's got a lot of explaining to do around this, about how it's going to minimise the disruptive impact on what up to this point in time have been very very well-performing agencies inside government.
Mm. Andrew, I think you hit the nail on the head there. There hasn't been a lot of explanation around this. All people kind of know is that there will be this new super ministry. It'll oversee kind of all of our defence sectors, and that Peter Dutton's going to head it up. That's all I know. And I think that that's a sentiment that's being shared kind of around the country at the moment. Do we know when this super ministry will come into effect?
Well, the government's flagged that everything's going to be bedded down within the next 12 months. And that is a fairly vague kind of timeline. So I would expect a gradual process of integration, the creation of new offices, basically a kind of restructure of, not so much a restructure, but the creation of a new department, a new portfolio within the cabinet. And that takes a little bit of time, making sure the right people are in place. So, for example, Australian Border Force, making sure that the culture within these organisations, and that's really the, in some ways, you can change nameplates, you can change business cards, but I think the big challenge is going to be making sure that the aspirated core and the culture within a lot of these agencies is preserved intact, and that we don't get to a point where you have a creation of a large-scale ministry which has the effect of steamrolling a lot of the homogenising effectively all of these agencies. Because the one thing that Australia has had irrespective, I think, of people's political persuasions, is a pretty good track record in terms of the prevention of terrorist attacks on home soil. And I guess one of the questions is, why would you mess with that by tampering with government agencies? Mm. Why would you mess with what is, you know, when you stack Australia's record up against the US and the UK, we like to compare ourselves to these two countries, it's actually better than both of these countries. So I think, again, the government has still got a lot of explaining to do around why Australia is seeking to emulate, others may say less charitably, ape what the UK is doing in this area, where their record on national security, frankly, hasn't been as good as ours.
It'll be very interesting to see how this unfolds over the next 12 months. Professor O'Neill, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Great. Thank you.